Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted you can be with us today. As we've said before on Seek Reality, the last few decades of the 19th century and the first few of the 20th were a glorious heyday of communication between the living and the dead. Nothing remotely like it ever happened before that time, and nothing more remotely like it has happened since. We realize now just how unique that time was. And long before TV and even radio, many people had the leisure at night, you know, when it was dark, they didn't even have electricity, to develop their mediumistic gifts to an extraordinary degree. And there were very advanced beings who were not in bodies at the time who were helping them to perfect their gifts and to provide extraordinary evidence of human survival through physical mediums of various kinds. We'll be talking about the different kinds today. These communications could be so much more accurate. Rather than there's the mind reading, you know, that your medium today will do with your dead loved ones, it's kind of hit or miss. But back then, it was very accurate. Some of these physical mediums were able to assist our loved ones in speaking through them exactly what they wanted to say, and often even in the loved one's voice, believe it or not. My earliest research, which was back late 70s and for a number of years thereafter, consisted in searching out and reading some of the old books where the earnest researchers of the day had patiently preserved these early 20th century communications. It was really an extraordinary experience to do all that reading. It became an addiction for me till I ran out of book finding them. Fortunately, our guest today has found a lot of books I never was able to find. I didn't even know existed. Most of the best communications were received in southern England and in the eastern United States, and by now I've read hundreds of accounts that were received from the dead through deep trance mediums mainly, and doing that sealed the deal for me. As I say in The Fun of Dying, it was like reading hundreds of accounts from people who had all been to Fiji over 100 plus years. They all had very different experiences, but in all cases, the clothing, the customs, the vegetation, the pastimes, the physics of the place, all exactly the same. I never found an outlier. And that is unbelievable, frankly. It's impossible statistically for that not to have been real. Frankly, that's what sealed the deal for me. Very early in my research, I knew without a doubt that we do survive. And that's ruled my life ever since. And probably my kids would say ruined it, but it ruled my life ever since. I've been very, very anxious to help you understand what I know to be true, which is that all the dead do survive. But, and I never really got beyond scratching the surface of this wonderful information. So fortunately, there are some people who are making a career out of doing this research. And one of them is the wonderful N. Riley Haggerty, who's now concentrating on making a lot of these priceless communications more broadly available to you and me. Riley is with us for the third time. He's becoming our expert on this. I'm so glad you're here, Riley. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be back again. Roberta, always a pleasure.
Well, you keep turning out these books, so we have to open them and find out what's in them. And I think this is a great thing you're doing, because most people don't have the patience. And frankly, as I say, no matter how I looked, all the things you found, I really didn't find. So I'm delighted. Now, what made you get into this? Why did you become so excited about doing this work?
I was a professional musician in the early 80s and into the 90s, early 90s, but mostly the 70s, 80s, professional musician, and I intended to stay as such. I was signed to an agency in Philadelphia, and I was with that agency for more than 20 years as a professional musician. And at the peak of that career, my fiance, my live-in girlfriend, Diane Rosso was her name, was struck down by leukemia.
Oh.
It was a 6-month drama in Johns Hopkins Hospital, Oncology 3 South, I'll never forget it. And about 2 weeks prior to her passing, she called me to the side of the bed and just said, Bradley's here. That was the name of her son, who I never met, who had died 15 years previous from asthma when he was 2 years old. She just comes right out and says, Bradley's here. So I instinctively looked around. But then I realized, wait a minute. Like
yes.
3 months before Diane was in the hospital, we were at the cemetery standing yes. at his grave.
Yes.
So it was, whoa. She said, well, Bradley's been coming every night because I'm not going to make it through this experience. And I'll be done with this awful leukemia. But I said, you're saying goodbye then. And she said, not really, but you'll understand later. So she passed away a couple weeks later. And so that is what sort of started me. Her clairvoyance about her son were so spot on. That's what got my attention. Because she said, you're not going to question that I'm seeing my son, are you?
Oh,
and I couldn't. How could I question that? So I started just researching, reading everything I could on life after death and mediums. And here I sit 30 years later, 5 published books, and a 6th book you might be interested in knowing is in the works right now.
Great. Great.
But 30 years, so it's a long time. But I've taken it upon myself to really go deep before coming to any conclusions. I said, you have to go deep. You've got to dig deep and swim deep to find the pearls. So
I have to ask you something. Did you hear from her? Because everybody is on the edge of their chairs wanting to know whether you did, in fact, hear from her after her death.
I was in England 10 years after that. And the physical medium, the late Colin Fry, was in the cabinet. It was a conference at Burton-on-Trent, this beautiful resort. And there we were all sitting in the dark. It was about 35 of us. And I could hear in the darkness the shuffling of, it sounded like a gown, some kind of shuffling. And the shuffling came closer and closer and closer to me. And then this emotional, trembling female voice, almost too emotional to speak, gave her a name and said the very nickname that I knew her by, which was Di-Di. Her name was Diane.
Oh, my. Oh,
and she
wow.
She said, I can hardly speak, but she said, you have my shoes hanging on the wall. You have not been playing guitar, and you went to the cemetery to my grave. She said, you've got to get yourself together. Then she broke down and couldn't speak anymore. Everybody in the room was crying.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to hold it together. I can usually keep it together, but when everyone starts crying, or if I see anybody crying, it gets me going. I kept it together. But then the spirit guide came through and basically thundered into the room in a nice way. But he said, here's a chance to give every one of you a lesson in sitting. This is how the conditions can break down. If everyone gets too emotional,
yeah,
the spirit's going to become upset. And then everyone's going to become upset. And then the conditions break down.
So you ruined the seance for everybody else by making them all cry.
Well, actually, she was trembling with emotion first, which really was so dramatic. And I pretty much recognized her voice, and I could almost feel her breath on my face. And she said, I have Bradley with me. And nobody there knew that. And Colin Fry was cable tied to his chair. He was 15 feet away. There was no question whatsoever.
Right.
Now, I could dig deeper into this and say, I needed more empirical evidence to know that it was Diane. But, you just get a feeling.
Oh, yeah. I think they nailed it. I think there wasn't much doubt. I mean,
she came back again after everybody collected themselves. And she said, I don't want you to worry, she said, because it's too wondrous to even explain. You would never be able to explain, to understand what I could tell you about where I am. She goes, but I will see you again.
Of course.
She said, you have to keep it together, enjoy your life, and please don't be sad. And I thought to myself, well, that's easy to say.
That's the universal message they always give us. Keep it together, enjoy your life, don't be sad. So that was...
Live your life the way I would have wanted you to.
Yes.
Don't live your life in sorrow. That's not what I want, she said. She
yes.
said, everything's fine because it's just too impossible to explain, but you'll understand in time. So here I am, 30 years later, talking to you, and Five books later, the subject is so enthralling. I've never stopped doing the research, and I probably never will.
Yeah, it's really addictive. I have to, I assure you all listening, you get to the point where you just can't stop doing the research because you keep learning these wonderful new things. It's the most perfect treasure hunt you can imagine, and the treasure is your own eternal life.
I consider it a compliment to the listeners. I hope that they're complimented by the fact that I've spent three decades. I mean, it's not like I don't know what I'm talking about. So,
but you did it for them. You did it for them, didn't you? It's fun for you, but it really, you get to the point where you want everybody to know what you've learned. And so
if they knew the depth of the subject, then in my mind and in my opinion, there is nothing that is more important in this life than this subject. Not anything in history, no wars, no political. There's nothing that can compare to the empirical, solid evidence of positive proof of life after death.
Yes.
And the power of cause and effect. There is nothing more important that a human being could know.
Yes, I agree with you.
Tell me what's more important than that.
Yes. Well, the thing is, it does transform your life. When you truly get that you never are going to die, nothing in your life is the same. Everything becomes a lot more wonderful. You never are afraid of anything ever again. But also, you start living your life with the purpose for which you came into your life, which to me is very important. Nowadays, we're used to thinking of mediums as mind reading, but we've got the cabinet. The fellow is in the cabinet. He's in a deep trance. He's tied to a chair, and suddenly there's ectoplasm in the room and people walking around and noises. What are your thoughts on physical mediumship?
The great past of spiritualism, physical mediums, they usually were developed at childhood. A lot of the mediums in my books did not need development circles and groups, and they had their gifts right from childhood. Don't
really
ask me how that's possible. I do not know. But it's just a lot of them never needed development as such. But in the presence of a physical medium, the phenomena and the manifestations happen apart from the medium, which means it has nothing to do with the medium talking or... The mediums are usually in trance and somehow tied or pinioned to their chair. I don't necessarily agree with that stuff, but because I think the mediums, the manifestations and the evidence will prove itself.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right about that. But it is typical that they be tied down, both for their own protection because they're in trance and they could, start sleepwalking, but also because if they're tied down, if it's impossible for them to be walking around the room and there's no other way anybody could get in and walk around the room, then whatever's walking around the room must be spirit. Why is it that we have to be in the dark most of the time or in red light?
Because the light is energy, and energy, light can break down energy. Everything that's ever been born has been born in darkness. It doesn't matter what it is. Every form of life starts in darkness, and mediumship and manifestations and ectoplasm and the psychic energy is no exception. The spirits say that it's beyond your understanding, but light breaks down energy, and we need the energy in the dark. Just like a photographic plate.
Yeah.
Just like
okay.
Birth, the baby's born in the ruby red, in the darkness of the womb. All plants begin underground in the darkness, germinate in darkness. It's the same thing. Life usually begins in darkness. So, it's a great mystery. No one really knows. And the spirits, they can't find a vernacular that our feeble minds can possibly grasp to really explain this stuff. But from what I can see, the psychic force comes from the physical medium, and the spirit chemists work that force in the dark, and they're able to have their manifestations.
So they clothe themselves often in ectoplasm, which is produced, I think, by the pancreas or spleen or something of the medium. And then explain, if you can, what is ectoplasm?
In my fourth book, which we're going to discuss today, Spectral Evidence, Volume 1, which is a compilation of all different mediums.
Yeah, it's great. I have to say, it's really enjoyable.
Mind-boggling phenomena.
Yes. Yes.
There is a chapter on ectoplasm. And I'll read the first little segment of the chapter. It says, one of the greatest marvels within the world of historic spiritualism and mediumship is a substance which seems to underlie all physical manifestations of mediumship, ectoplasm. From the Greek, ectos and plasma, exteriorized substance, a protoplasmic substance streaming out of the body of the mediums, by the manipulation of which, either by the subconscious self or by discarnate intelligences, phenomena of a super physical order, including partial and complete materializations, are produced. The word ectoplasm was originated by Professor Charles Boucher of Paris. And I go on to say that my wife and I have closely seen and observed ectoplasm. We had a physical medium staying at our house in 2008. He was there for 3 months.
Wow, good.
A very powerful physical medium. And we saw with our own eyes, we were called to the curtained-off cabinet. The medium was cable-tied to his chair. There's no way on earth, under my own conditions, there's no way on earth that the medium could have got out of that chair. He was 2 feet from me. The spirit who was standing behind him said, you can open up the curtains, and I want you to look and see. Turn the red light on. We did. There's the medium, unconscious, in his chair. And there was this, I can't even describe, whiter than white, the whitest snow you've ever seen, brilliant white, streaming from his mouth. And in near his solar plexus, this cloud of white pulsating energy, in the middle of which a hand started to form.
Wow, you saw this in your own home.
I mean, 1 foot from our face. There's no doubt, no question about any of it, what was going on.
Yeah.
It streamed from his nose and his mouth and partially from his ears and just cascaded down his chest. And there in front of us, it pulsated and the hand formed. And then the spirit again said, that's as far as we can go, as far as you're seeing it right now. So we had to go back to our seats and close the curtain.
Oh, my goodness.
The next
wow.
day, we were sitting, the medium, my wife and I were sitting at a round table, wooden table, with the red light on. The medium was conscious and sitting right there with us. We all looked over, and no question whatsoever, a white cloud, a vaporous cloud, issued from the cabinet and made its way over towards our table. Then it came over. The temperature of the room went down about 15 degrees. You could almost see your breath.
Wow.
And the ectoplasm slowly disappeared. We were all, of course, breathless, including the medium. The table then, with no one touching it, rose from the floor about 2 feet, right in front of us, right up in the air.
Wow.
We all pushed our chairs back, and there was the table levitating in space. In thin air.
Yeah.
And then the spirit control later said that we were manipulating the table with ectoplasmic rods.
Yes.
Which went from the medium to the cabinet and over to the table.
That is amazing. This is something I copied from that chapter. Ectoplasm is matter, intangible and invisible, which can, through the assistance of the spirit operators, become tangible and visible. So basically those rods were, I guess, not visible. It's seen in many states and forms and in many colors and degrees of density. It appears in liquid, vaporous and solid states as a thin ethereal gauze-like substance or solid to the extent it's tangible and becomes a human body. Even in its most tangible form, it can disappear from our sight instantaneously. The simple explanation of this is that the vibration of the ectoplasm is changed to one that does not register upon the physical vision. Actually, that chapter is worth the price of the book, because you talk, I think, more effectively about ectoplasm there than I have ever seen anybody talk about it. I mean, I've been curious about it, and it's fun to think you had it in your own house.
Oh, certainly under our own conditions. That was the main thing.
You could control it. There was no gimmick possible because it was your house and you were
No critic, debunker, scientist. I don't care what they say. I don't care what any scientist says. You're not going to talk me out of what I saw. That's all there is to it. I am tired of the scientists who think they have the last word. They have no word. That's what my opinion is. If you haven't seen it, under your own conditions, you cannot talk about it.
It's a whole area of reality they will not look at. Exactly. And just to, so everybody can kind of start being excited about this with us, for the past decade, our wonderful friend Craig Hogan has been working with his own circle, and he is developing a physical medium today, and a very promising physical medium. So we're hopefully going to be able to have people experience this. There are other physical mediums in the world now, but he's watching this happen in front of himself every week in his own house. Again, seeing is believing. I want to actually read a quote from the book. Someone called Reverend Dr. Robert Moore was the medium, and it was an excellent example of what happens if you go to a seance and the medium is very good. It's people who are spirit can clothe themselves in ectoplasm, can use that ectoplasm to create a voice box and adapt that voice box to speak in the voice they had when they were alive. I mean, amazing things can be done with this ectoplasm stuff, but it does react badly to light. In fact, there was one medium whose name escapes me who was killed because they're very careful to keep all the doors closed, all the windows closed, everything, so that when someone, a medium, is in deep trance, it's not possible for light to get in, because if it hits the ectoplasm, the ectoplasm will all snap back into the body of the medium. It stays connected with the body. Well, this was one case in the 50s where the police decided to do a raid at the wrong time. The medium was hospitalized but then died from the fact that all that ectoplasm snapped back into her body.
One of the last seances of Helen Duncan, the Scottish.
That's right. I think that's what it was. Yeah, this is the kind of thing which science will do. I mean, scientists will do everything they can to protect the illusion that matter is real. And they're doing that still, but it won't be much longer. And I just want to read this. Someone who was sitting in 1936 with a medium called Dr. Robert Moore explained why this was so compelling. He said, "To my mind, the exact duplication of the body, the features, the speech, the photographic memory, and the identical personality of a man or woman whose physical body has long since been laid in the grave or incinerated into a few handfuls of ashes is the most astonishing of all miracles of psychic phenomena. To see a man in fair ruby light step from a cabinet, walk over to you, even though you may be a dozen feet from the cabinet, and give you a good strong hug or a hearty handshake, talk with you in a natural resonant tone of voice about events that prove him to have retained a perfect memory for details." This is someone who apparently is already dead. "And after a few minutes, bid you a cheerful goodbye and dissolve into the fog of dematerialization before your eyes and sink through the floor is an absolutely unforgettable experience." And as you point out, Riley, when it happens, no one can ever tell you again it didn't happen. You can't. That's a genie. You'll never get back into the bottle. So if we have enough physical mediums and open-minded people who can come and sit with them, we're going to spread the word of the truth so quickly. There are, especially in the UK, there are some very good physical mediums now sitting. But we're trying to put the phenomenon in the U.S. because there are so many more people here. And frankly, I think that that's going to make all the difference. But let's talk about some of the interesting things. I just have to say, and his name is N. Riley, R-I-L-E-Y, H-E-A-G-E-R-T-Y. Everything he writes so far that I've ever read is fascinating and easy to read. It's all very, very accessible. And that's part of what I love about his books. They're not too long, and they make all of this easy to understand. You do something magical. You have footnotes. I mean, I never do footnotes. I mean, to me, it's just I'm writing, and you can follow along if you can. But you do footnotes, bless you. I mean, it's scholarly but very accessible. Please talk a little bit about Silver Bell. I found that whole section entrancing. She's a little Indian girl, Control, and tell us about her a little bit.
Ethel Post Parrish was the founder and president of the famous Camp Silverbell in Euphrata, Pennsylvania. Her little guide was Silverbell, and she was the cabinet tender. She was a little Indian girl. And Ethel was one of the most powerful materialization mediums. She would have two or three spirits out on the floor at once, but in many situations of materialization or seances, especially ones where there's materialized spirits, which is just about the wonder of wonders.
Yes.
A spirit guide comes out to ease the tension, first of all. It's usually a child, but they take on the guise of a child, even though they're probably very advanced spirits. Because the child, especially an Indian, would calm the audience down and say some funny things, get people laughing because they're probably just stunned with excitement
yes.
and fear,
yes.
who knows what.
Yes.
But in Ethel Post Paris's case, she would have, in many instances, it's in my book too, of eyewitness accounts of things that are almost too incredible to possibly imagine by your average person. She would be led right out of the cabinet herself in trance, and each of her arms held by a materialized spirit. They would
wow.
put the red light up. The whole audience would be watching as two spirits would lead her out from the cabinet, and then another would be talking from the cabinet. This is in front of the eyewitnesses. It cannot
wow.
be denied.
No, that is amazing.
People.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so Camp Silverbell in Euphrata, Pennsylvania, was named after the spirit.
Yes.
Silverbell.
And you also talk about that it's been raised now, but was it you who
yes,
said
I
that
saw
you got
it before
to
it was
see
taken
it?
Down.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad, but if this were a slightly more enlightened world, places like that would be preserved. But all of this will come to everyone's awareness. Talk about Elizabeth Compton, who died. I had to read that section twice. She dematerialized and then rematerialized.
Well, let me move backward a little bit. In the book I have right in my hand right now, it's my fourth book, Spectral Evidence, Volume 1.
Right, which we're talking
There's
about.
There's 14 chapters with some of the most mind-boggling mediumistic events that have ever been recorded. And then the final 15 chapters, just in conclusion, my thoughts and remarks on the great mediums. But chapter 8, which is about Elizabeth Compton, this sweet, very illiterate, hardworking washerwoman who lived in Savannah, New York, which is now Watkins Glen. She was investigated by a Colonel Henry Steele Olcott. In her case, I'll try to tell you this in edited form. Elizabeth Compton would go into the cabinet, and in the case in my book here, it's an instance of mediumship. It is so astonishing. I've only heard of it one more time, where the medium completely dematerializes inside the cabinet. In other words, spirits are out on the floor. The investigator, Colonel Olcott, would go into the cabinet, and there's no medium there in the chair.
Oh.
Whereas before the seance, they took sewing thread and threaded through her pierced ears down to the floor and stamped the ends of the thread with sealing wax.
Oh, gee.
The medium didn't mind at all. So they had a very flimsy thread down to the floor. In other words, there is nothing that she could do to escape from that situation where it was right through her pierced ears. So while the spirits were out on the floor, Colonel Olcott went in and Mrs. Compton was gone completely.
What happened to the threads? Were they still there?
Gone, completely disappeared, everything.
Oh, my.
And then the spirit is a breathtaking part of the chapter. It's called The Bride of Corinth.
Yes.
This little veiled spirit comes walking out of the cabinet. Colonel Olcott had a Fairmount scale set up. This is where you could step up onto the scale, a platform scale.
Yes.
He has the spirit, a little veiled spirit, and there's an actual drawing by the illustrator, Alfred Capes, in my book, who drew the actual picture of that, of the spirit standing on the scale. but she looks like a little ghostly little bride. She has the veil all the way down almost to the floor. Can you imagine seeing that right in front of you?
No.
Colonel Wolcott says, can the reader imagine my feelings as I sat there in the room in the dark, not more than a foot and a half from a speechless and veiled figure, a supposed visitor from the other world who had gathered unto herself an evanescent corporal body of which my scales could now take cognizance, and the next moment would be dissipated into a vapor. So after this,
she went
into the cabinet, and yeah. Mrs. Compton, there she was sitting, thread intact, no pulse, as if she was dead, gone.
Yeah, right.
She was as cold and lifeless as a corpse, and she was sweating. No pulse was detected. And then after about 5 minutes, she came back, but they just dematerialized her. I've never heard of it. It's incredible.
I had never heard of it before. That's why I wanted you to talk about it. I mean, well, they also weighed that spirit, and she weighed very little. I don't know, like 70 pounds or something. And they, after she came back, they weighed the medium. She weighed 100-some-odd pounds. So there was
And one of the spirit Indian came out. It was like 6'3 or 6'4. Mrs. Compton was like 5 foot, like 5 foot five or something.
Yes.
How do you explain that? You know,
no, it's
critics
it's
and debunkers, they're missing out. And people that want to be, that they won't believe, some people will not believe anything. So my attitude is, you're missing out on some of the great wonder stories of life. That's how I look at it.
That is so, so true. I mean, it's to me, this whole physical mediumship area, if it were happening now, there would be nobody who did not understand that life is eternal. Unfortunately, though, it was happening 100 years ago and more. So and it's easy for us today to say, oh, well, obviously, it couldn't be real. It happened so long ago, and it's so hard to believe, but it was real. And the people studying these physical mediums were, for the most part, very careful researchers. So I was skeptical in the beginning, too, but I came to think, no, it had to be true. When we come back, we're going to talk about direct voice mediumship. Arthur Findlay, one of the greatest researchers, said the direct voice is the highest psychical phenomenon yet discovered, and it is the most convincing, besides quite the most wonderful. All of the discoveries of men fade into insignificance when compared with this great discovery. And one of the wonderful things about direct voice mediumship is that we had an excellent direct voice medium who was working into the 1950s and the 1960s. His name is Leslie Flint. If you Google him, you can find all kinds of examples of the recordings he did of some famous people after their death. Let's talk a little bit about direct voice mediums, which I know not much about, but what I know is very powerful.
Direct voice is essentially almost an independent voice coming from the thin air. The word direct voice is usually associated with a light metal megaphone called a trumpet in spiritualist terms. For some reason, some spirits want and need this little megaphone, which can be levitated in the air and float around the room. And the trumpet acts like a little cabinet, and it also magnifies the voice.
Right.
But in ways we can understand, the spirits try to explain it, but it's almost impossible. Independent voice, on the other hand, is where the voices speak right out of the thin air. To me, it's the highest form there is. So direct voice is basically independent voice with a trumpet. Independent voice is no megaphone right out of the thin air. It's truly astonishing. I've witnessed it myself. My wife has witnessed it on hundreds of occasions in Seattle with a physical medium, David LeBaron. It's astonishing to have a spirit talking to you out of thin air.
Let's talk about Leslie Flint, because he's very accessible to anybody who's listening to us. There's a website which has a whole lot of his recordings. Some are very famous people, and you'll find analyses saying, oh, here's this guy before he died talking. Here's the voice after he died. It isn't exactly the same. Well, think about this. There's no more body. There's no more voice box to produce the voice that the fellow had when he was alive. So if it's even any voice at all, that's amazing. And if it sounds somewhat like the voice of the person who has died, that is almost unbelievable that they can customize whatever they're using to produce the sounds to that extent. And in 1960, Thomas Jefferson spoke through Leslie Flint. I think he was bored. I was 14, and apparently he was guiding me even then. But I was curious to hear what he had sounded like. I listened to that recording, and with the first few words, I had literally goosebumps because it was the same. I remembered the voice. I had known him when he was Jefferson. It was the same voice, the same voice. Now, maybe not quite the same voice. You could quibble, I suppose, but it was the same voice. And the fact that the dead can do that to that extent is, to me, beyond amazing and wonderful. So these people are rare, but if you have the chance to go and sit with a direct voice medium, don't hesitate. What were you going to say?
Well, Leslie Flint, the late medium Colin Fry, I mentioned his name earlier, the internationally famous medium Colin, was a good friend of mine. I went to see him in England, and he took me to Leslie Flint's house. This was after Leslie had passed, and I myself have probably almost 70 seance tapes of Leslie Flint. Leslie Flint was one of the last great independent voice mediums where,
yes,
not only were the voices speaking independently right out of thin air, but they identified themselves. Here is the combination of physical mediumship with evidence.
Yes,
physical,
yes.
Physical mediumship without evidence is just physical phenomena. You have to have evidence. You have to have the people identifying themselves and saying, this is so-and-so, your grandmother. Leslie Flint, the voices were all different. They all identified themselves. He had Oscar Wilde. He had Gandhi. He had Garrett Anderson. He had numerous
yes,
people come through. And he had one of the most lively guides, Mickey, in
yes,
all of spiritualist history. And I have numerous tapes. I have a tape of Leslie Flint where the voice changes right during the conversation from a male to a female.
Oh, gee.
It's truly astonishing.
Yes.
Leslie Flint was one of the last great, great mediums. And he's very accessible. You can find his tapes online. They're astonishing.
They are astonishing. Just never forget the fact. Now, I'm told that there was this was done in normal light, apparently, but that there was some kind of a voice box that was made in thin air, and then the spirit would modify it.
Leslie Flint sat in the dark.
He sat in the dark? Yeah, okay.
The voice box was literally constructed by the spirit chemist. Voice box just means that they form a psychic structure. It lowers the density of the vibrations. You know, the spirit's in a higher vibration after leaving the physical body.
Yes.
They bring the spirit into this field, this energy field. And because the vibrations are lower in this field, the spirit can once again feel his vocal cords, his larynx, his throat. That's how they speak. They have their vibrations are lowered in this force field.
Yes.
The medium gives off this energy. And then the sitters that are there also add to it. Spirit chemists then create an atmosphere, a psychic atmosphere that the spirit has to enter. Some spirits are more inclined to be able to speak than others. Some have great difficulty, but some don't. Some are natural at it right off the bat. It's truly marvelous.
Riley, tell us, I just have to say personally, I've read now a number of the books that Riley has produced, and they're all wonderful. They're easy to read. They're not too long. And as I say, they've even got footnotes. I highly recommend them. If people are interested in your books, where will they find them?
There's the French Revelation about the medium. The first three books are about women mediums. Emily French. The second book is about the Bang Sisters, spirit precipitation mediums. The third book is about Elizabeth Blake, direct voice medium.
Yes, we talked about that.
Books are available by White Crow Books. You can find my books. If you just put in N. Riley Haggerty,
H-E-A-G-E-R-T-Y.
Right. Just go to the search. Go to the search window in ABE Books, Amazon, Book Finder. You can go to Lulu Books. Also, Barnes & Noble, You can go to the derisionbooks.com. But there's 5 books right now, and one more coming. So,
well,
I also have a Facebook page, and the Facebook page, the address is simply The Books of Anne Riley Haggerty. Just go to that, and you'll see the Facebook page.
Okay, and is that a way they can contact you, or how do they contact you?
They can email me at nrileyh@hotmail.com. That's nrileyh@hotmail.com. Or they can contact me through the Facebook page. And the Facebook page, once again, is simply The Books of Anne Riley Haggerty.
Well, when we talk with Riley next, we're going to talk about his first book. And I'm looking forward to reading it. To tell you the truth, I don't have the time to read what I'm not going to be talking about on air. And so you have to come back so I can read this book. On the list. So thank you so much for being with us, Riley. I always so much enjoy hearing you. You have such conviction and such knowledge. So thank you for being with us. Consider yourself hugged.
Oh, same to you. And we'll talk soon and stay in touch.
Of course. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so glad you could be with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you really get all the implications of that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Carla Wills Brandon. Her year 2000 book, When Last Hug Before I Go, was about deathbed visions, and I consider it to be a worthy successor to Sir William Barrett's 1926 masterpiece that coined the term deathbed visions. Many others have done great work in the field of afterlife research, but Carla's efforts kind of remain seminal. She's a clinical psychologist. She's written a dozen books in this field, including A Glimpse of Heaven, The Remarkable World of Spiritual Transformative Experiences. You're really going to enjoy Carla's wit and wisdom, so please join us next week. And this week we've been talking with N. Riley Haggerty. He's becoming our Seek Reality expert on the extraordinary efforts that the elevated beings we used to think were dead, of course they're not, were making a century ago to try to prove their ongoing survival. This field seems very obscure to us now, but it's about to become immensely important, and thanks to Riley's terrific compilations of some of these amazing efforts, it's going to be something which people are able easily to access again. He's doing wonderful work. We've been talking about spectral evidence, mind-blowing wonders within the heyday of historic spiritualism. We only got through part of book one. There's a book two, and we'll be talking about that with him later. These books are really as entertaining as watching a great movie with popcorn in your hand. And they're so comprehensive, we're going to save that second volume for a later Seek Reality episode. We're going to go back and talk about his first book. And we're going to, I think, be able to dig deeper. We had only time to skim the surface here if we occasionally bring Riley back with us. He's doing a great service to the world. People don't understand that yet, but they will. It's going to be, frankly, the ultimate way we come to understand that our own minds really are eternal. As you know, I have a variety of books, including Liberating Jesus, all the fun books, My Thomas, and some books for children, too. The Fun of Loving Jesus will be out in the fall. And you can order all my books through bookstores or on Amazon.com. The adult books are available as audiobooks. Of course, if you want to talk about any of my books or anything at all, you can contact me through the contact block on Roberta Grimes. I do answer every email provided you give me the right address. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please understand how precious you are to me and how much I enjoy hearing from you, talking with you this way, bringing to you information which I'm not sure you could get in any other way. So thank you for spending this time with me today. And now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, never forgetting, always knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being. And you in particular are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.